Philippians chapter 4. We come this evening to focus in particular on verses 10 to 13, learning contentment. Learning contentment. We live in a consumer society, and this was probably especially true, or it's always true, around the Christmas period. It was estimated this past Christmas that on average, each household spent just under £1,000 on the over the Christmas period on presents, on food, on entertainment. That was average household expenditure throughout the United Kingdom. People want more. People want bigger. People want what is new and what is in trend. And part of that greed and want, it comes from a lack of contentment. People aren't happy. People aren't satisfied in their life circumstances. And so many people then turn to material things to fill that void of contentment and satisfaction. This evening, we want to learn the lesson of contentment. And it's a fitting lesson, considering our society's search for contentment, and yet also its total failure in finding it. Yet, if we look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, we have some wonderful words. I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. As we live in a society that searches for contentment and yet fails to find it, here we see that contentment is something that we can learn. Contentment is something that we as Christians are to possess. This word, contentment or content, it means to be independent of external circumstances. It means to be sufficient in oneself. It means to be strong enough to need no aid or support outside of yourself. Paul's using a word here that the philosophers of his day used. And they believed that the ideal for a man or a woman was to be removed from the things of this world, removed emotionally, and removed materially, and you could be sufficient in yourself, in your own little bubble. That was their goal. But obviously, Paul isn't using the word in this way. Because Paul isn't saying that we're to be removed from the world emotionally or materially. Paul loved things in this world. He loved the church of Christ. He loved his brothers and sisters. He had a burden for those outside of Christ. But Paul is saying there is a contentment that we are to have where we are not relying on the things around us, but where we are relying solely on Jesus Christ. We are to be independent of external things, of relying on external things, because our complete dependence is in Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 13, I can do all things in Christ or through Christ who strengthens me. And so this evening, as we consider Paul in his prison chains, we are to be learning a lesson of contentment. Not finding satisfaction in the things around us, but finding our satisfaction only in Jesus Christ. This evening I want us to be learning contentment, because we are to be content Christians. And here in verses 10 to 13 of Philippians, we see how to do that. The first thing I want us to notice is the circumstances of contentment. The circumstances of contentment. What are Paul's circumstances? What's his situation? Well, it was obvious to the Philippians. He's in prison. If you go to Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 17, Paul mentions his imprisonment three or four times in the short section. He's a prisoner for Christ. He's chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day, 7 days in the week. There's no escape for Paul. No doubt there was much that Paul wanted to do. We know from Paul's letters that he wanted to travel further west. We know from his letters that he wanted to go back to the city of Colossae, and especially to visit his friend Philemon and to stay in his home. Paul wanted to be used to preach to the Gentiles and to have an open door to the Jews. Paul probably had a long list of things that he wanted to do. But that list will either have to wait or it may never be completed, because Paul is in prison. The opportunities that he would have liked to have had have been cut off from him. Yet, he says, he is content. Paul has also been in need in prison. Look at verse 14 of Philippians 4. The Philippians have shared his trouble or his affliction, his distress. The Philippians had been unable to send aid through to Paul for some time, but since they've been able to revive their support and concern, and Paul is saying, I had been in great need, I was in want, I lacked sufficient supplies, but now you've supplied them. Verse 12, I know how to be brought low, or I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Paul says, in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul had been in need in prison. If you were a prisoner in Roman times, you couldn't rely on the state to provide your food or even to provide the payment for where you were staying. You had to do that, especially under house arrest, where Paul was. You had to provide. You had to finance yourself in this, in the chains in which Paul found himself. And so he relied on different people to send aid. And Paul says, I've been in need, and at times I've had plenty. Yet in all of these circumstances, I've been content. Even when I'm in need, even when I don't have the things that I want or would like, when I don't have the necessities, I've still been content. Think about this. Whatever situation Paul finds himself in, he is able to be content. Remember, this is a man who's been beaten, a man who's been put into prison. He's received the 40 lashes minus one. He's been spat at. He's been shipwrecked. He spent a night and a day out in the open sea. He's a man who's known true hunger. And he's also a man who at times has had plenty. He's known what it is to be chained, and he's known what it is to be free. Paul knows what it is to suffer, and he knows what it is to be cared for. And he says, in each and every circumstance, I can truly say, I know what it is to be content. Do you know contentment? Or does Paul seem a little bit odd here? Can you say, I have been content in every situation? Are you maybe thinking to yourself, Well, Paul's just being a little bit simple. Have you been content when you've had material wealth, when you've had a position of plenty? Have you been content when you haven't had the things you wanted, when you've been in need, in every circumstance? Have you been content when things are going well? Have you been content in those times when it seems that the world is just closing in around you? Do you know contentment? Do you know contentment in employment and out of employment? Do you know contentment in good health or in ill health? Do you know contentment as a married man or woman, or as a widow, a widower, or a single person? Do you know contentment as a parent, or in perhaps longing to have children, but there never were any? Do you know contentment in a happy marriage, or in a marriage that needs continual hard work? Do you know contentment in a happy job, or in an unhappy job? Do you know contentment? Can you see the range of life circumstances that Paul is drawing to our attention here? He says, in every circumstance, in all times of my life, where are you now? Where is the place where God has you? In plenty or in need, slave or free, be content. The circumstances of Paul's contentment, Paul says, it's been a whole range of things, a whole range of life's experiences. And in each and every one of them, I have known and I know contentment. The circumstances of Paul's contentment. But then secondly, we have here the source of contentment. The source of contentment. How is this contentment possible? Surely what Paul is claiming here and saying here isn't that realistic. Is he not just being idealistic? This isn't living in the real world, Paul. That's what we might say. Well, look at what he says in verse 11. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And then in verses 12 and 13. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then verse 13, I can do all things in Christ. Here is how Paul can be content. Here is the source, the very heart of contentment. He has learned what it means to be in Christ. In Christ. Paul says, I can face all types of circumstances. I can be upheld and strengthened in every situation because I have learned what it means to be in Christ. I can do all things in Him, in Christ, who strengthens me. You see, it's Jesus Christ makes the difference to every circumstance of life. And that's why for Paul, his view of contentment was so vastly different to the philosophers of his day. The philosophers of his day would say, the happy man is content with his present lot. No matter what it is, he's just reconciled to his circumstances. It's similar to people today who talk about the power of positive thinking. You know what it's like where maybe you're going through a tough time and someone says to you, well, just keep good thoughts. Keep good thoughts and everything will work out. Or believe in yourself. Know that your situation, it's not as bad as it could be. Or people say, look on the bright side. We know those types of sayings that people give to us. But they're rubbish. They're not based on anything. They're just fanciful ideas, like the philosophers in Paul's day. How much better that Paul could say, my contentment is based on something solid. My contentment comes from a rock-solid truth that does not change and cannot change. My contentment, my satisfaction is based in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? For you this evening, if you're a Christian, you are in Jesus Christ. That means that God has set his everlasting love of you that we sang from Psalm 118, the beginning of the service. That means that God has raised you up from the pit, that God has brought you into his family. That means that God has an everlasting inheritance kept for you. Those pleasures evermore that we sang of in Psalm 16. God, who has set his love on you, will keep you, uphold you, bring you to himself, that you might see the face of your Savior, Jesus Christ. You have been brought from Satan's kingdom and brought into his kingdom, and you are now in Jesus Christ. And God the Holy Spirit has come into your life and he abides in you. He dwells in you. You are now a new creation in Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, that standing before God cannot change because his eternal love in you cannot change. This is the source of Paul's contentment. I am in Jesus Christ. I don't trust in the circumstances in which I'm placed. I don't trust in the material things around me. I don't trust in my own strength, my own ability. I only trust in Jesus Christ. This is important for us to grasp. This means that our identity isn't based on our circumstances. For the young people who are here, I want you to listen very carefully to this. Who you are is not based on the things that you do. It's not based on the school that you go to or went to. It's not based on your gifts and abilities. Who you are is based solely on the fact that you are in Jesus Christ. This is also important for those of you who are going through difficult times or suffer various illnesses. Sometimes when we talk to people, a short time into a conversation, they're telling us who they are by referencing an illness that they have, or a mental illness of some sort, and that becomes their identity. They're saying, this is who I am. I am someone who suffers this. I am someone whose circumstances are these. No. First and foremost, if you are in Jesus Christ, who you are is one of his. And that supersedes everything else. Our identity, who we are, is found in Christ. And that's why Paul can say, I am content. Because I am in Christ. Who are you, Paul? Paul the prisoner. Paul would say, wait a minute. Yes, I'm a prisoner, but that's not who I am. First and foremost, I am in Christ. And so I find contentment because I'm in Christ. Paul the preacher. Yes, he's a preacher. But first and foremost, he says, I am in Christ, and so I'm content. I'm content if I can go and preach or if I'm in prison. Because my identity isn't based on circumstances or things. My identity is based in Christ. The source of Paul's contentment is being found in Christ. That's why he can face poverty. I am in Jesus Christ, and Christ is everything to me. That's why he can be in abundance and still be content. Because my identity isn't based on my things, but it's based in Christ. He is everything to me. This is important for us to grasp. Perhaps you look around the church and maybe you feel you don't have as many gifts as others. You can't serve the way others do. Other people just seem so much more useful. Or maybe there are things that you want to do, but because of the circumstances God has you in, you can't do those things. You've been restricted because of ill health or age or financial obligations or family commitments, whatever it might be. But where is your contentment? Is it in those things that you can or can't do? Those things that you have or don't have? Gifts and abilities? Or is your contentment in Christ? This is why Paul can say in verse 13, I can do all things in him, in Christ, through Christ who strengthens me. Christ makes me content. He upholds me in every circumstance. He keeps me looking to him. He provides. He supports me. He is sufficient for me. And so I can face all situations. I can face all circumstances because I am in him and he gives me life. The one who strengthens me. The source of Paul's contentment is being in Jesus Christ. The circumstances of his contentment, the source of his contentment. And then thirdly and finally, the practice of contentment. The practice of contentment. Paul says twice, I have learned this. We see it in verse 11 and then again in verse 12. I have learned this. In fact, Paul uses two different words here, two different words for the word learn. In verse 11, it's what's called an active verb. That means that this is something that Paul himself is doing or has done. Paul says, I have given myself to the task of learning. I've disciplined myself to learn. So it's active. Paul himself has disciplined himself to learn contentment. The second learn in verse 12 is what we call a passive verb. That means it's something that's being done to Paul or for Paul. Paul says, I have learned by someone working for me, by someone working in me. I have learned because there is a Father in heaven who has been teaching me, because the Spirit of God within me has been enlightening my eyes. So the learning is both active on Paul's part. He's had to discipline himself, but it's also passive. Someone else has given Paul this knowledge of contentment, or God has supplied this truth to Paul. So how then do we learn this contentment? How do we practice it? What practical application can we take so that we can be more content as we look to Christ? Well, firstly, we must be in Christ. And if you're not a Christian this evening, then you will never have true contentment. If you're not a Christian, you will never know what it means to be content. Yes, you might be comfortable. You might be quite happy in life's circumstances. Maybe things seem relatively easy. And so maybe those who feel content but aren't Christians don't even see their need of Christ. But I want to say to you this evening, you do need him. You need him because you don't see the danger that you're in. Your circumstances, which are maybe comfortable at the moment, those circumstances which are giving you contentment, they're fragile circumstances. They are circumstances that only last for a time. The danger that you're in is spiritual. It's a matter of life and death. Because you're a sinner before a holy God. And you need to have that sin dealt with. You need forgiveness. And this forgiveness is only found in Jesus Christ. And so remember that the circumstances that you find yourself in can change quickly and dramatically. Death should trouble you. Death should worry the unbeliever. The judgment to come should make the unbeliever shake and be terrified. And perhaps what needs to happen is for all those comforts that you're trusting in to be removed from you, that you might realize your desperate need, your spiritual need of Christ. Perhaps you need to have those circumstances of comfort removed, that you might realize that your contentment was only in things that are fragile and pass away. You see, the true contentment comes only from Christ. So firstly, we must be in Christ. Then secondly, we are to learn this contentment through God's working in our lives. So the passive verb, God teaching us, showing us, and bringing this fruit of contentment out in our lives, but also in our disciplining ourselves. The active verb, there is something that we are to be doing. We can give ourselves to learning contentment. And it is a discipline. Jesus, when he was on earth, learned obedience through what he suffered. And in the same way, God teaches us through our circumstances. The suffering that you've experienced in life, the loss that you've had, the temporal gifts that were given and then taken away, God is teaching us through those circumstances to be looking to him, to be finding our sufficiency in Christ Jesus. When we're relying on circumstances and the circumstances change, that is God teaching. That is God helping us learn to find our identity in Christ, to find our sufficiency in Christ. In your struggles, your loneliness, your frustrations at work or at home, we are learning. We are learning to be looking beyond the material things of this life. We are learning to look beyond the circumstances in which we find ourselves, to be trusting in Christ, learning contentment as God works graciously in us, as God brings circumstances to our life, as God points us to our only hope and satisfaction in Christ. We are learning contentment. And so, we are to also be active in this learning. Pray for contentment. Pray that God will give you that peace which surpasses all understanding, that peace which will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It would be a good thing for all of us to make a habit of praying for contentment, thanking God for everything that we already possess in Christ, thanking God for the situation into which he's brought us. That's sometimes hard to do when the situation is difficult. But saying, Lord, thank you that you have brought this situation into my life, that I might trust in you, that I might again be reminded that my sufficiency is in Christ, that I might be learning contentment. So pray for contentment. And then read for contentment. God in his word has revealed what we have in Christ Jesus. If we starve ourselves of this food, then we'll hunger and we'll be impoverished. And so we have to feed on God's truth. We have to feed on Christ. We have to remind ourselves as we come to his word, these are God's promises for me in Christ. This is who I am in Christ. And in feeding on Christ and looking to Christ in the word of God, we find that we are learning contentment. We're learning satisfaction. We're learning to trust in him as God unfolds for us the truth of his word. That's why Paul can say in verse 13, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Because he was feeding on Christ, looking to Christ. So read for contentment. Fellowship for contentment. Fellowship is a means of grace that God has given to us, to be with our brothers and sisters who are also in Christ, together in Christ. And together you can spur one another on and encourage one another. Listen and pray for one another. There's much to be gained in learning contentment in fellowship. And in the prayer meeting earlier, that was abundantly clear in this congregation. As you prayed for your pastor, as you prayed for various needs, hearing that you're being prayed for, being reminded to look to Christ, that fellowship, it brings contentment. It reminds us, my satisfaction is found in my Savior. My contentment is found in him. As you see one another suffer, and yet you are still persevering in Christ, that's an encouragement. That's you teaching one another, here is contentment. I can keep on going in my life and in the situation where God has me, because I'm not trusting in all of these things, but I am looking to Christ. And you're learning from one another as you suffer together and as you serve together. Fellowship for contentment. In this we will be learning contentment as we are brought to look to our Savior, as we have our minds trained and our hearts trained to see every situation as one that's from God, and it's here for our good, and it's to remind us that we are in Christ and our satisfaction is found only in Christ. As we serve and worship and pray and feed on Christ, we are reminded he is everything to us. Our eternal destination is Jesus Christ. He is everything to me. He is sufficient for me. I need nothing else. Can you say this evening that your commitment, that your contentment, that your self-sufficiency is found in Christ? Are you strong in Christ, finding that he is strengthening you? He is upholding you in every circumstance as you look forward to being with him. Is your joy in Christ, so that like Paul, we can say in every situation, wherever I find myself, I am able to be content, not in my own strength, but because I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing together in praise. Returning to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. We're singing verses 6 and 7, and then verses 11 to 13. Psalm 17, verses 6 and 7, and then 11 to 13. The tune is Belerma, number 47. Here the psalmist prays that God would continue to show loving kindness to him, that God would keep him and sustain him. And then in verses 11 to 13, he's drawing a comparison. The comparison is the worldly men of earth. And they are looking to the things of this earth. They are looking to the material possessions. They are looking to their comfortable circumstances. They're trusting in those, but the psalmist says all of those will pass away. They are fading things. But as for me, my satisfaction, my contentment, verse 13, is looking to the one that I will stand before, the one whose face I will see, Jesus Christ. Our contentment is found only in him. Psalm 17, verses 6 and 7, and 11 to 13. Let us stand as we worship God.